Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel, where it is time once again for No Sleep Teal, a show dedicated to discussion involving the National Football League's Jacksonville Jaguars. That's right. We're live on a college football Saturday mid-afternoon. We're kind of in between Georgia, Kentucky, Ev. Obviously a big one in Tuscaloosa with the Crimson Tide hosting Diego Pavia and the Vanderbilt Commodores. We will have coverage post-game of that here on the channel later tonight with Aftermath. We'll jump on and talk some Alabama-Vanderbilt. But we got some Monday night football we're going to preview first. The Jacksonville Jaguars. It's a very rare position, right, Ev, of late, for the Jacksonville Jaguars to be in host mode where Monday night football is concerned?
Oh, yeah. I mean, really, when it comes to primetime games as a Jaguars fan, you take whatever you can get. Now, that being said, the last time the Jaguars were on Monday Night Football was very awful.
We were there, right?
We were there. We were verbally
accosted, I would say, we to put it mildly.
And harassed by Bills Mafia. But hopefully, you know, maybe we can have a little bit more fun this Monday night against the Chiefs.
Yeah, we'll be there. Evan, myself, will be there. We'll be sitting with the real ones on Monday night, by the way. So if you see us, stop by and say hello. But Ev, when you think about this matchup with the Chiefs, Chiefs look to be rebounding pretty nicely after a bit of a rough start. Getting some guys healthy, still not going to be totally whole at the wide receiver position. But Xavier Worthy certainly changes things for that offense. Even when he's not catching the football, he has that ability to create space and opportunities for others around him.
Oh, 100%. I mean, he's kind of the one guy you can't let, you know, get going, I guess, on the Chiefs. You know, don't get it twisted. They've got a decent running back duo in Pacheco and Kareem Hunt. You know, they've got some other options, obviously Travis Kelce, but Xavier Worthy is the big play guy on that squad. And that's where you're going to be looking to Tyson Campbell. And you'll probably also be looking at Travis Hunter a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Travis Hunter shadowing Xavier Worthy when the opportunity arises.
Interesting from the Jags' perspective in this matchup with the Chiefs' offense, and we do talk about the quality backs that you still have to account for with the Chiefs. Interesting that it's actually Patrick Mahomes from the quarterback position who leads the Chiefs in rushing, and he's averaging like 6.1 per attempt, so he's still capable of hurting you with his legs. Now, sacks in the NFL don't go against the rushing total for a team or a player. It's different that way from college football. And really, this Chiefs offense in terms of truly explosive runs have two so far in four games, one of those by Patrick Mahomes, the other by Xavier Worthy, I think last week in the win over the Ravens. So, you know, it can come from some different guys. But what about Trayvon Walker and this wrist situation? Liam Cohen has said that if he can go, he'll go. Sounds like he underwent a procedure earlier in the week. What are you sort of looking for out of that situation? Are you thinking Walker can help in some ways given this type of injury he has? Or are you looking more at Ogbah and Smoot and maybe some of those other guys having to step up?
Well, whether Trayvon can go or not, I won't really be looking at Ogbah just because, to be honest, not exactly in a great start for him, to be real with you. In terms of like the advanced metrics and stuff, Ogbah is one of the worst ranked pass rushers in the league. But obviously, you know, this is a guy that's a backup, not the main guy. I mean, really with Trayvon, it kind of feels like a club situation, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like if he can go, it shouldn't feel that much different. You know, he might not be able to wrap that hand around anything, but I mean, he ought to still be able to do the majority of his job very well. If he can't go, this becomes not just a game where you watch Josh Hines-Allen, but it could maybe just very well rest on him. You know, Josh Hines-Allen has been incredible really so far this season, but he hasn't actually gotten to the quarterback quite as much as you would like. You know, the sack total's not extremely high or anything like that. this is a game where if Josh Hines Allen could go get like two sacks, that could be, you know, difference between a win and a loss.
Yeah, and even if Walker goes, you would think the Chiefs would be behooved to say, look, in a pick-your-poison type of scenario, we'll send help towards right. Hines Allen and see what Walker can do with that club or that situation. I'm with you. I would think in terms of where he would be limited most, it might be against the run because you need those hands. You need to be able to, you know, set the edge and do things with your hands more against the run than you do even as a pass rusher. So, you know, it could be that maybe we don't see him as much on early downs and it's kind of a situational role for him, or who knows, maybe he just, he's able to go in every aspect of that defensive plan, which it's crazy at this point, right? For this Jaguars defense, three or more takeaways in each of the four games to start the season.
After that first week, we're like, hey, you know, like they're going to surpass their total from last year because it was just really, really rough, you know, seeing the Jaguars not be able to turn the ball over last year. But that is, you know, we've long since left, we'll surpass the total from last year. We're looking at potentially, you know, franchise record, you know, all different types of stuff now. So it's really exciting. And hopefully Trayvon Walker can be a part of that. This weekend he did practice today, so that's good news. You know, yeah. He at least got out there. And honestly, if you're going to beat the Chiefs, you know, you're probably going to need to turn the ball over probably 2 to 3 times. You know, I mean, that's kind of the expectation here.
Yeah, and if you're Trayvon Walker, it might be an additional incentive to play because Jawan Taylor's coming back to Jacksonville for this game. The former Jaguar and starting right tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs. But, you know, when you think about it from an injury perspective and think about this Jaguar offense too, I mean, Trayvon Walker, obviously is the marquee player on that list this week, and he hadn't practiced really on Thursday or Friday. So your note there about him being able to go in some form or fashion on this Saturday seems to be a positive and has him trending maybe towards playing in some capacity on Monday night. De'Ami Brown on the offensive side of the ball, limited this week. Ezra Cleveland, this offensive line in general. Ezra Cleveland, Chuma Adoga, Anton Harrison, Patrick McCary, all through Thursday's practice were limited. Wyatt Milam has been out for an extended period, the rookie offensive lineman. So what are you thinking there for this Jaguar offense when you look at those players between Brown and then that offensive line?
Yeah, you're kind of thinking, can we get like 4 of these 5 to go? Can we at least get 3 of these 5 to go? If that doesn't happen, then the Jaguars are going to be in serious trouble. But, you know, I mean, between if you can get 1 of Adoga or Harrison to be up for it, then you kind of cover your tackle spot. McCary is kind of the one that you really just can, you know, can you find a way? But when you have a knee injury like McCary does, that's also not something you really want to mess around with. So it's a little dicey. It's a little dicey on the offensive line right now. Now, you know, there is something to be said about Liam Cohen kind of getting results out of these guys, no matter what the combo is out there. So, you know, I'll give it a sec before I'm, you know, getting too worried. But really, yeah, you got three starters, let's say 3.5 starters that are injured on the offensive line. You need a really positive Saturday, Sunday, Monday morning.
Yeah, you got Chris Jones, the all-pro defensive tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs. It's not just Jones, but Bolton is a really good inside linebacker, but it does start up front, and Jones, very disruptive throughout his career. He has a sack and 4 tackles for loss through 4 games. So you got to have some legitimacy on that offensive line and that interior this week for this Jaguars offense. And also, Bashal Tutin has been on that injury report throughout the week, limited on Wednesday and Thursday. The one thing I think I've learned the most about the NFL over the years, though, is that, you know, even if guys are limited late in the week, it's the DNPs that you don't like to see late in the week. If it's questionable to limited participation type of range, a lot of times those guys are going to try to give it a go on game day.
Yeah, the DMPs are the things you got to avoid. You know, if the guys can at least get out there in the on the practice field, then you can, you know, generally you're going to feel pretty good about it. That's the thing with the Chiefs is that while they've got some guys on the injury report, they've been full practice guys. Mm-hmm. So you're not really getting any breaks, I would say, in terms of the Chiefs this weekend. You know, they're going to be about as healthy as you're going to see them all season. Obviously, Rashee Rice is still suspended, but otherwise they're good to go.
Yeah. I mean, for some perspective on that comment. Yeah. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is on the Chiefs injury report with a groin, but he's been FP full practice all week long. Hollywood Brown has quietly done some nice things for that offense too. Not a big yards per catch guy, much as you would expect with his speed, but he kind of held that thing together until Worthy could get back last week. Juju Smith-Schuster, kind of that same kind of guy. And of course, Travis Kelce, it's amazing. We haven't talked about him as of yet during this podcast, but these are all the type of guys, running backs, tight ends, that having an Xavier Worthy helps when he is in that lineup, because he can run off coverage and make it even more difficult to send coverage towards, say, Travis Kelce.
No, it's kind of the situation what we thought BTJ would be, you know, what Xavier Worthy is to that offense. It's kind of what we thought BTJ would be for the Jaguars offense. Obviously, hasn't exactly panned out like that this year. But no, I mean, you really can't give the Chiefs anything. I mean, at the end of the day, while, yeah, they kind of look like, you know, oh, maybe the cracks in armor are showing and yada, yada, they lost their first two games of the season. It's still a very talented offensive group that if you underestimate, you're going to pay for it. I also think, you know, we talk about the receivers there. If you don't wrap up Isaiah Pacheco, he will make you pay over and over and over. Yeah. He's kind of, to me, maybe the most critical player on the Chiefs offense in this game to me.
Yeah, we talk about scrimmage yards for the backs a lot now in relation to the Jacksonville Jaguars and Liam Cohen's system offensively. I think that's going to be even bigger for both these teams, because Andy Reid, coming from that West Coast offense background, for decades, that offense has been largely predicated upon getting the backs involved, not just in the run game, but maybe even more so as receivers too. So, and of course, you know, the Chiefs would love to turn this more into, let's see what Trevor Lawrence can do to us or down the field. Let's turn this into, we're fine if it turns into that with Patrick Mahomes in a lot of ways. But, you know, first and foremost, Travis Etienne off to this huge start, Tootin, you know, those are the guys that they're going to want to slow down early on. And with BTJ having his struggles, De'Ami Brown banged up again, the Chiefs would more than welcome. Let's turn it over to the quarterbacks.
Yeah. And I mean, really, in one way or another, Trevor is going to have to be the guy at some point in this game. You know what I mean? Like, I obviously, you know, you don't want him throwing the ball 40 plus times. We've talked about in the past, but the Chiefs are not going to let the Jaguars just run it all over them, or at least they're not going to try to. And, you know, Karloftis isn't necessarily the greatest pass rusher in the world, but he's one of the best edge defenders against the run in the NFL. Mm. It's just not going to be easy against that front seven. I would say that, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Liam kind of puts it on Trevor early. You know what I mean? If they kind of throw early, I don't necessarily want them to do that, but I could just see them, you know, kind of saying, okay, if this is the game y'all want, we're going to beat you this way first, and then we'll run it down your throat.
Bolton, Tranquil, those linebackers, you know, are going to be keyed up on that run game and the screen game. I mean, that's a smart defense too for the Chiefs. So some of the stuff maybe you've been able to do with the screen game and some of that, it might be more and more difficult as you get four, five, six games of tape now that opposing defenses are able to check you out. So as we wrap up, Ev, the Jacksonville Jaguars will win this game if fill in that blank for me.
Oof. The Jacksonville Jaguars will win this game if they force two turnovers. I'll say that straight up. I said it earlier in the episode. Let's say a plus two turnover margin.
Right.
Which, you know, coming into the season, we would have said, man, a plus two turnover margin, man, you're asking for a lot against the Chiefs. But after the, you know, past 4 weeks, is it, I don't know if it's that much of an ask. So that's what I'll say. They go plus two on the turnover margin. Jaguars will win this game.
Patrick Mahomes threw four games, just one interception. He's been sacked seven times.
Punching that ball out like last week. Let Gardeck throw some hammers.
Kareem Hunt has put the ball on the ground once so far this season. So we'll see how that trend for the Jaguars defense in terms of just owning the takeaways, if it continues to play out against an elite all-time quarterback in Patrick Mahomes and the rest of that Chiefs offense. Ev, give me a pick for Monday night. Who you got?
So the past 2 weeks I've picked against the Jaguars and they've won. So not because I'm trying to channel that same energy, but just because I do think, you know, they might be due, unfortunately. I'm going to go Chiefs 23, Jaguars 16. That's the prediction.
Now, I've picked the Jags the last couple of weeks. I'm actually, I think, 4-0 on my Jags.
You have belief. You have faith where I do not.
Well, I thought they'd lose at Cincinnati. I'm with you, though. I thought last week against San Francisco in some ways was a defining early win, or could be, in the Cohen era. Now, after watching Mac Jones, though, against the Rams on Thursday night, I'm thinking maybe the Jags caught a break not getting the Mac revenge game. Brock Purdy, obviously not where he needs to be physically. But I'm going to go Chiefs. I'm going to go Harrison Butker on a field goal to win it 27-24. I'm going to go Chiefs on Monday night. We'll both be there, though. We'll both get to find out firsthand.
No, I can't wait. It's always really exciting to watch night games at Everbank because they're just so few and far between. Should be fun. You know, it's going to be an interesting atmosphere too, because the Chiefs are one of those fan bases that just go and take over stadiums. Hopefully, Jaguars fans are out and about. They're ready for this one. But at the end of the day, I'll never complain about, you know, getting primetime football with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
So. Yeah, it'll be a great experience. Hopefully the weather cooperates. It's been tropical AF down here. Like sunny, like
are
it
the
is
Chiefs ready for right the now elements?
Yes.
Are they ready for what we grew up in and what we live in?
My column.
Yeah.
You know. But, hey, we're at Party Girl, by the way. It's been another great Saturday here at Party Girl. Boy, we've done well this week with those chop steak and loaded mashed potato dinners. They sold out, as you might expect, Ev. That corn pudding casserole you love so much, pretty much gonzo, pretty empty display cases in here right about now. But we appreciate Party Girl Avondale, 4205 St. John's Avenue, a bakery, to-go meals, chicken salad, all those things at Party Girl. Ev, we'll catch up in the next 24 hours or so, and we'll take in Monday Night Football together coming up in a few days. So look forward to that. So for Evan Ryer, I'm Travis Ryer. Thanks again for joining us right here on No Sleep Teal. And until next time, so long, everybody.